Well, we're gonna just continue this, and the next slide is about debugging. Basically, when you're debugging templates, you're trying to figure out why it's not displaying certain stuff. But there's a few ways of going about it. Regular way that's what everybody uses, just like in PHP, is just putting data out on the screen and seeing where in the execution template it, what the values are available, or even print out the data in PHP script before it's assigned to the template. So just a couple of ways of doing that. But kind of annoying as well. So Smarty has this thing called debugging console that has a whole bunch of information. And we'll show what that looks like. So here's the just a little this is a file that comes with Smarty by default. It shows a few different features there, and if you look at it in the what are the signs here, just a bunch of different arrays and variables and things like that. But debugging console, here it is, shows you, first of all, the included templates and config files and how long it took to process there in seconds. So it shows what happened debugging that GPL, and that loaded a test.conf with a setup section from it in a local scope. That's how long it took there. Maybe a little difficult to see, but it also is. Huh? It's a cache. No, they don't cache them. Yeah. Header and footer templates. So basically shows you the structure of the templates that are loaded. Then it shows you the assigned templates variables. So here's dollar class, structure of that, first name, last name, things like that. And so your designers or whoever can pretty much easily just see what values are available first of all, or you can see, you know, if anything got assigned at all. And there's also the config file variables that were loaded from the config file right there. That's just kind of it's not like that real. This, just sort of execution. And this console can be turned on globally, so any time a page is loaded, it gets displayed or deleted. Or you can set it so that only if you put certain variable in the URL gets shown. So we added this file here. Here the way you turn it on basically is by saying debugging equals true. And it's pretty cool, it has its own debug template. So if you want to customize the output of the console, it's you can do that too. Like you can, here's what the debug template looks like, you know. Figure out how it works this and then modify your preferences. But go back here, let's say we run that off and then say debugging control equals URL. That means when you load this up, it just to display debugging console, but if this variable in the URL called Smarty Debug, then it'll show up. So you can control either on a per page basis or globally. And like I said, that was pretty useful.
But turn that off on production environments.
Is it what's the default?
It's off. You can also register a custom error handler through PHP. This is the catch all the
how to
get it?
Yeah.
Smarty class has a variable called debugging. You set it to true, then the console will show up on every page. But if it's turned off and there's another local debugging CTRL control, if you set it to URL, then only when you specify this Smarty debug in the URL layer.
Again, you can do that in the child class as well. So
yeah, when you extend this class, you can set the debugging on. And what we usually do is that setting comes from a config file, for example, or maybe just customize it that way instead of going to the PHP code and turning it on or off.
Or you can do it via constant, for example.
Yeah, something like that. There's also like I said, you can register a custom error handler to catch errors that come in so they don't get displayed in a production size movement. Custom error handler can catch either just once or errors or all kinds of notices. And what we usually do is, if it's an urgent error or a warning, which is generating an email with a list of variables that were assigned, information, all that sort of stuff, and email it to the appropriate people. So custom error handler can handy. I can show you what kind of error messages the Smarty gives you when you if the template has syntax errors and things like that. So if you look at here's the template that I was displaying. So for example, you go in and you say modify one that text, say IFF instead of normal if you reload it, it's gonna say Smarty in debugging TPL line 7. Now that should be named. That's not the right. Let's say there was some tag that it didn't recognize. It's gonna say unknown tag on that line. So you can go back and pretty much just adjust it or remove it. Also, if you have like a section and you, for example, omit the name of that, it's going to say a missing section name on that line.
Smarty uses trigger error.
Yes.
Smarty uses trigger error to display errors. So you can also then catch them in PHP using set user error handler as a second failed safe method, or you can turn off display errors in your PHP any files, so they're never getting, they never get displayed.
Yeah, and turn on track errors, and any error will be saved in the variable. And like I said, the only kind of problematic thing is like if the slash section or slash for each are omitted, then what's going to complain is something like this. It's not too helpful. I'm going to try to figure out how to make it work better. But most of the functions and modifiers that catch the errors, as far as arguments are concerned, and Smart itself catches syntax errors if you misspell, or if it's an unknown tag or something like that. So that's as far as debugging is concerned. Like I said, debugging console shows you all that information. Then we've gone to caching. Smarty can cache the output of the templates. And in this example, I have set up a cache directory here. It's owned by nobody. That's where the cache output will be stored. So this little example here, it uses exactly the same template as before as the debugging one used. Except here we have a caching turned on, caching pulls true. And this is the simplest one. By default, it just caches the content for an hour. And then once it expires, it regenerates it. So there's a... So let's remove everything from cache directory.
We can also have a check timestamp, so yeah.
So cache directory is empty. You go and run the file. Okay, now it's ran the file code and saved the cache in the cache directory. You look there. That's what the output cache looks like. It's basically just HTML. There's no template tags anymore. There's just a little header at the top that contains the cache information, like dependencies and expiration time, things like that. So that's the simplest example of the caching. Most of the time, your template is just going to be kind of static, but you can have dynamic blocks in your cache content too, for example, things that change from minute to minute what they need to be just dynamically shown. Then you can use the insert tags in the template, and the insert tag will basically just invoke the function that should return you dynamic content. And the data generated by the insert tag is not cached. So if you have a couple of insert tags in the cache, for example, then when the cache is loaded by Smarty, it'll detect that they had insert tags and then call those functions and replace the content that's really dynamic and output with you.
That's also good for example natural language, native language support, or if you wanna have certain things that are generated only once for your entire site, but they're only just very small portions that need to be truly dynamic, which is for a lot of sites. Caching it can give you huge performance gains in that manner.
The expiration can be controlled either globally or on a per template basis. Globally means that you set the expiration for an hour, for example. So every template will be, the output of every template will last an hour before it's regenerated, or you can set for a specific template. You can also clear the cache either manually, just go into this cache directory and remove all the content, or it'll be automatic upon expiration, or you can clear it with the API function called clear cache that will remove cache for a certain template or all cache. And also there's a variable called compile chat, and what that one does is it's on, then the Smarty checks if the template has changed or not. It's changed, it'll recompile it. Otherwise, it won't. And if it's enabled, then if it is recompiled, the cache is validated, of course, it won't. Okay. Usually when you have a page that has a lot of data that comes from database or things like that, you don't want to be fetching the data and assigning it all the time when the cache is available. You need to sort of check if the cache is valid, and only do that if you need to. So here's a call Smarty has a function called isCached, and what it does is just checks if the cache for the template is valid or not. And so what we do here, if it's not valid, then we assign all the data and then display the template. Otherwise, we just go straight to displaying it. And that, of course, results in a higher performance. I mean, the output of it looks exactly the same. It's just a little faster. I have an example here. One template can generate many cache files, like it's the same template, but the content that's assigned to it is different. You don't want to be using the same cache file for later because two different people come to the site and they're going to see content that's customized. And what you do is you use a cache ID parameter to display a fetch, and that's up to you what you use for your ID as long as it's unique. So like in this example here, pretty simple one. What we do is assign content that comes from URL, for example, here. And then this is the cache ID parameter. And in this case, we'll just use MD5 hash of the content. I mean, there's other ways to do it. If you define like articles in an online publishing system, you just use article ID for cache ID or whatever you want, basically.
Yeah, MD5 is not the fastest function in the world to use. So if you can, use specific information that's localized to how you want to separate it. MD5 hashing something is not the lead. So you're not worrying about templates then.
Well, here, now this is a simple template. All this displays is the stuff that comes from the URL.
Yeah.
Because you have to specify cache ID when you check if cache ID is available or not, and when you display it. So, I mean, it's generated once. So we run this third one here. Say content is Sterling. So that's been cached now in a cache directory. Yeah, so it's not a list. If you go ahead and change this like to Mastodon 2002, then went ahead and generated another cache file for that, even though it's the same template.
Can you show us the template of that?
Sure. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Just that.
And where the content gets that from the query string?
Yeah, what we do is, let's see. The content just comes from the URL like variable that we passed.
So it's really caching the results of the final page.
You exactly. It's just caching
the function of the time.
Just caching the final page. And since we just use the MD5 cache for the cache ID, I mean, it generates different cache files depending on what content is, I guess.
That's why you use insert, by the way, in order to get dynamic data within your template.
But another way of doing it is using a resource request URI for your cache ID. If you have like lots of variables that are passed in the URL,
sure.
Or I mean whatever else, like I said, any sort of ID that differentiates between the different users or whatever. So if you look in the cache directory now, there are two files. And the first one has, you know, the old one, and that's the other. You can go in.
So to cache the intermediate files, if you wanted to say, you know, generate the cache that would just output, you know, the actual PHP, how would you cache that?
What do you mean?
Let's say instead of caching the final output, you want to cache the intermediate, you know, like the PHP echo content.
That's already in the system. That's the final code.
Okay. I mean,
here's what it looks like. This is what it gets compiled to.
Okay.
And that just gets basically included into the, by included by Smarty, but it needs to display the page. Cache files are normally stored in the file system, like you saw, just not a directory, but, there's a way to have a custom cache handler function, like if you store cache files in a shared memory, for example, specify the cache handler function, and that, you know, gets invoked every time cache needs to be read, written, or checked, if it's valid or not. So it's pretty customizable.
RDBMs are not a good idea, by the way.
Caching. There's also a variable in the Smarty called cache modify check. That is on. And the Smarty will output the 304 not modified header, so the browser doesn't even need to. You don't need to output the browser, will just know the page hasn't changed. If it has a local cache, that the proxy has a cache, it'll just display that right away. But it'll do that only if the template doesn't have insert functions, because, of course, insert functions have dynamic content, and you don't want to output this 304 header for those.
Is an example of an insert?
Yeah, I have that. Here, I have a current date and time, insert name, this current date and time. I mean, if you just use the $smarty.now, which has the current timestamp, and formatted it, it would be cached. It wouldn't change when you reload the date, which is, if you look at the debugging example that we had, there's current date and time. That has force compile on that would basically be cached, but the insert that we have is a little function that gets called the plugin actually. That's what it looks like. Smarty insert for time. And all it does is return the current date and time formatted in a certain way. That is get inserted in the template. Basically, Smarty would load the cache file, see that there's a need to run an insert, and run the insert and replace that and output.
And you could just do that with a Smarty function as well. That's a simple example of what Smarty offers that built in.
Is there a built-in function that does variable substitution, for example? The only thing that may be different on a page is the name that will insert every time. It's the username, let's say. What's the easiest way to do that? Let's say I've got 10 of the things that I want to do, and I only want to do that every once an hour. That's the same for everybody. But then the username on the page may be different because it's a different user.
Right now, inserts are the only way to have a sort of dynamic content in the cache files. Thinking about how to make it easy to have a like a cache and dynamic blocks and templates.
What is the namespace of that insert?
It's just a PHP function, global.
Could you go back to the example that you used with Sterling at OSCon and change that to an insert just so we can get a tangible thing?
Okay. So let's go to let's go to this one and change this. We'll call it awesome.
No, I think it was content or something, right? The variable's already
sure.
There.
Okay, well, let's just name that. So name equals content. So we need to create a function that will be called by this insert.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't handle variables.
That's what I mean. We're trying to figure out how to make it easy to have like a, maybe something like cache or no cache slash no cache or something. That will make it easy to.
Yeah. Is there a way you can pass an argument to the function that you define here?
Like insert?
Yeah, an argument to the insert. Because if you could just pass the string dollar $content or the contents of that variable,
check
from the user point of view,
I'll tell you right now.
That is passed, yeah, if you can pass an argument.
Well, it's the function to be the goal for
We'll look at the document and take it for you. My memory failed me right now. Oh yes, you can pass. So, let's try that. Say, equals, like that. That's what we're going to be passing. But, I mean, in this case, content is assigned from PHP script. That's only been assigned once. So it's not going to be. It's only going to catch the first time, the first version that's assigned.
Because he's using MD5 IDs to cache separate files. So for every name, there's a separate cache file.
I mean, passing parameters to inserts is good too. Let's see. Well. It's a good question of how to make it easier. Let's just keep going and then we'll come back with it at the end if there's a time.
Can we take a look at the cache output with an insert?
Yeah. Like the cache file?
It's alright.
Okay, let's have to modify this here. That's the only one I have prepared, so let's just do that. If you look at the output of that, that's what it looks like here. It saves some information about which function needs to be called and what the parameters are in the name of that. So if you call it, that's the display to cache.
Basically, the insert is for when you have mostly non-dynamic content.
A fold, for example, in a display. That you can write a function that just returns the content of that.
But if it's
but it's just like one variable and stuff that
Yeah.
That's why I want to figure out an easier way of just like making those little things dynamic instead of blocks.
But if you have a page like my user information, it's a lot of dynamic stuff, and you just don't cache that, right?
No.
You
Yeah, you just don't cache that. I mean, at a certain point, you get to figure out the threshold where it's better to be caching or not, you know. Like, the front page of Yahoo, you know, you definitely cache that stuff. But how much of that stuff is dynamic? You know, if you're a user that comes in, sure, it shows your username and stuff like that, and a few other things. So those can be inserts. So that's as far as caching, which we'll talk about later. Advanced functionality, for both the template resources, default template, filter security, cache on other stuff.
I have a question about caching. Is it possible to cache, let's say you have a header and a footer, with the comment, and following, and then you've got a middle that's, you know, different between each page, you can cache the header and the footer, pulling
layers? Well, the cache,
or is it just a full page cache?
It's a full page that gets cached. So, I mean, you can, if you want to, like, fetch the headquarters separately, it'll cache those, and then you just paste them together in this way.
Like, so, you use multiple templates.
So if you don't use the include in the template, that you, like, fetch them. But, usually, I mean, normally the full page is cached.
And you can also just use the display function like that, and have a middle one, like you said, without even bothering with fetch.
So template resources, template files are usually live in a file system. It's probably the easiest way to get to them and edit them. But if you have like a content management system that stores template files in a database, for example, or somewhere else, you can get them that way too. The syntax for using resources in templates and display and fetch calls is basically the resource name column and the template name. And we'll show an example of data from the template store in a database. There's a built-in file resource that you can use to obtain templates outside the default template directory. Like if there are templates that are live in some other one, like a common template between applications, for example, or something like that, you just say file column and then tap to that. That's also useful for Windows. You have like a C column or something. You could use the file resource.
Can you fetch files from another site?
Yeah, you can do the fetch function. You can say fetch file equals an HTTP something something. It's not going to include a template. It's just going to fetch that directly, that content directly and display. It's not going to parse that as a template. That's just lots of security stuff. So to obtain templates from database network elsewhere, you just register a custom resource and then do something like this. Include file, include DB. So I'll give you a little example where I made like three or four templates for a database here. I'll show you what they look like. So here's a resources. This is a simple template frame fetch from a database and always stores when it was modified and the source of the template. And I also made like a header template which has the title, there's index templates here that includes the header and footer. So if you look at the resources example, we'll go through this just a little bit here, but what you do is just instantiate Smarty and then you run register resource API function, give it the resource name for which it's going to be known. And an array of function names that it'll use to obtain the information. They have DB get template, which will fetch the template source, DB get timestamp, to get whether the template has been modified or not, timestamp with that. And two functions for get secure, get trusted, that get security turned on. It's supposed to tell whether the template is secure for display or stuff like that. Then you just do smart display. DB column, and that's the element of the resource that you registered. So just to show that it works here. So here's the template from database that was fetched there. There's the header one that was from database. The actual content on the Twitter. So this was fetched from database dynamically. If you go look at the code that does it, that's just setting up error stuff with the database. There's a function that gets called to fetch the actual source of the template. It's just basically the template name and then the template source by reference and smart object in case you need to access some parameters. So all it does is just select source and template support name plus template name. That's what's found. It returns true, otherwise it returns false. It's same thing for timestamp, just selects timestamp out of database. Here, it assumes all templates are secure, so it always returns true. Trust that is not used for templates, it is for
get one just gets one row, and the value of that is a string and places it in that variable.
That's just, yeah, it's just a pair of UVA, right? So, here's an example using template resources. People use it for, stuff like, for example, there is a resource I will pre-process the template to it, things like that. It's, they get creative with it. That's template resources. Default templates, that came up as when a few people requested that they want to create templates on the fly, basically. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I haven't run into it, but I don't know, like depending on the template name or something. So there's a default template handler function that you can set, and it'll be called like with a template name and other information. So you can create a template dynamically, it'll get it from somewhere, and then return it to Smarty. I guess it would be useful. Filters. Templates can be processed by filters at various stages. Before compilation, which is called pre-filters, after compilation, which is post-filters, and also after the template is actually executed, you can modify the output using the output filters. And filters are loaded either by a load filter function, or you can set auto filters variable, so Smarty automatically loads them each time you don't need a load filter. But you can also, that will load them from the plugin files that are in the file system. So you can also call a register filter function to have it in your application. So we have an example here of pre-filter, for example. It's just a simple text, but what we want to do is prepend like a certain header before the template is output. So if you look at here. In this case, I have a function called show info header, and Smarty, the register prefilter, that function name here, and when it loads the templates, before it compiles, it will call this function to process the source, and then it will compile the process source. So in this case, what we do is we just take the source over to us and just prepend some header information, like Smarty version, time it was compiled, stuff like that. So if you run that, prefilter, you know, nothing here, but in the comments you'll see that it prepended that header there. It tells you. It has, prefilters have a few uses. I mean, this is one of them. Another one is removing information that you don't want to have in the templates, like HTML comments, for example, or some people use it for multi-linking processing stuff, which we'll like talk about a little bit later, multi-label templates. But prefilters, basically modify template before it's compiled. Like I said, in this example, I just had function in this file, so I called register for filter, but you can also have the functions and plugins, and I have my plugins located here. So here's it's a separate plugin file. It has to be named a certain way, and we'll get to that a little later. But in that case, you just use load filter function. And you say, give it the, which type of filter it is and the name. And it's exactly the same thing, basically. And output. So that's pre-filters. Post-filters, I don't have an example, but they basically get called when the template is compiled, and that's a whole bunch of PHP code interspersed with HTML. So if you say, yeah, do some processing in that, you can, but post-filters just a little dangerous to do. You know, you can remove like an end, PHP delimiter or other stuff and screw it up. So It's just there, I guess, for complete. I haven't really found a use for it, especially now that the output folders are there. But it's there if you want to use it. Output filters get run when the template is processed. One example that I have is called trim white space. If you want to trim the white, extraneous white space from your templates before displaying them, this is the one to use. So here I have like a table, for example, that indented. TRTD tags, which might have a Dreamweaver output or something. And with a simple section that displays the first name and the list of first and last names. Like if you run it, it'll go something like this. But we have a output filter. Well, in this case, I've also shown how to use autoload filters very well. This is a good one to use if you want to do this on all the templates you display. So you just in that file that extends Smarty, you can set this variable and it'll always be applied. And so in this case, we just do array, the type of the filter, and which filter needs to be loaded to show what the output filter plugin looks like here. You know, it's kind of looks a little complicated because there's a whole bunch of actions that the monster opens. But in any case, if you look at the output of this one, you see that the white space was removed. It's no longer indented, and that's saving bandwidth basically. You can get pretty creative without the folder depending on what you want to do. The output of once the output folder is run, that's after that it gets cached. So it's not
and it's useful just for sections where for myself I haven't used that part of it, but I use just a function that scripts white space at the command line. However, if you have a lot of templates that are cached, you can have optimizing output filters that can optimize your JavaScript spacing, etc. And if you say maybe 100 bytes over 100,000 requests, it suddenly becomes a lot of bandwidth that you just saved. So that can be very useful considering bandwidth is one of the biggest bottlenecks when it comes to performance.
I think databases. Oh, yeah. Okay, security features. Sometimes templates have to be edited by untrusted third parties. Like, for example, in the product that we had, there was an online publishing system that we get installed for clients and also most of the templates so they can go and change local field notes. Well, since Smarty allows you to, for example, that PHP in the template if you really wanted to, or in the if statements you can call PHP functions, that becomes kind of a problem. If they call things that you didn't really intend, like, you know, mail function, mail, et cetera, password or something. So there's a security system in Smarty where you can prevent that unwanted behavior. So what you do is you set the security variable to true, and that enforces the following rules. Embedded PHP calls won't be allowed, period. It's just maybe a hold. PHP functions are not allowed as modifiers and the if tags, except those that are specified in security settings. Because the security settings variable that basically controls how what's allowed and not allowed.
For example, you want to allow count, which in
so basically only be allowed one for leader, which should be pretty limited list, I guess. If you want to leave third parties in them. Templates can be included only from directories listed in secure dirt. So you can't use like a file resource to include some, something from outside. Only if it's in the list of the variables. Only if it's one of the directories that's listed in secure or you can do it. Local files can be fetched only from directories listed in secure. like I said, there's a fetch function that can just fetch a local file and output it. And, but you don't want to do it for like certain passwords. So you can restrict which directories are, that function can work on. And, PHP code executed from templates would include PHP tag or insert script that can be located in a directory listed and trusted with. And we'll talk about those tags when we get the componentized templates. But, that's a security feature. I'll show you what that looks like. For example, I'll just, template here. Same one as before that showed the whitespace stuff, showing list of names. But I put a bunch of, secure stuff, I guess, as I embedded PHP code, PHP/PHP. Also, there's, I'm using my strlen function, and that's not one of the default ones that's in the security settings. I found that it's not secure, it's just it's not the default one, I guess. And here I use a curse function as a modifier, and that's also not in the list of the allowed ones. So, here's, run it by default, it just does exactly what it's supposed to do. Counts the number of rows with embedded PHP, checks the string length, how close it's too long, and also runs the function. However, you turn the security on, run it, it's going to say, okay, syntax error, secure mode, PHP tag is not permitted. Not too bad, line 21. That's exactly where it is. 921, that embedded PHP stuff. Well, okay, let's get rid of that. Next one is security line 23, strlen not allowed and safe. So, it's 23, okay, we'll get rid of that. And, let's say, there's a plugin error, secure mode, modifier, encrypt is not allowed. So basically, it tells you exactly where the security errors might be. But, let's say you wanted to there's a security setting. Let's say you want to allow the crypt modifier. So you change the security settings to say, okay, modifier funds can include that one. And we'll run it. Well, run it, it works now. Okay, let's say we put the stuff back in. We'll say, okay, if funds can have the strlen, we'll run it, it works. And if you set PHP tags to true, then you can also have embedded PHP. So, I don't know what, don't turn everything on if you have security also turn on. There's no point in that. So that's the security features. They were pretty thorough at first checking out everything.
They're very similar to PHPs as well. So, with PHP, it's run obviously on a lot of shared hosting servers, and you need to make it secure. The same thing applies to Smarty. So those security features are pretty complete and tested over time.
Of course, it's only like you editing your templates in your local system. Don't bother with security, I guess. But if you have like, especially like third-party editing templates, you never know what kind of function they might call. Okay, so cache handler. Like I said, if you wanted to store a cache file in some other place, like shared memory, something like that, you can specify a custom function called cache handler function. You set it to the function name, and it will receive what's called an action type: read, write, clear, check, or whether it's valid or not. A Smarty object variable that's supposed to you're supposed to put the cache content into or receive cache content. Name of the template file, file ID, cache ID step. I don't have an example for that, but documentation has a, talks about it a bit more. Plugins. For version 2.0, we kind of re-architectured it to use plugins as much as possible. Before that, it was just like, if you want to make your own custom modifier, just append it to the list of modifiers or use register modifier API. But we want to just wait for people to like download a plugin, drop it into the directory and make it work. And what does that affect? We have like this plugin repository on Smarty's site.
By the way, I just noticed no other templates have these. If you he develops Smarty so he can't plug it like I can. If no other templating engines, if you look at PHP, have all these features. And so,
is that a good or bad thing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but
anyway, here's a drop in rate for these for Smarty. People have been contributing stuff. Functions and array, select time zone, mail to, sends email. Automate mail to address and creation option. There's an insert from session ID. Math modifier, somebody did. Here we go. Outputs alternative text to numeric variable. That's interesting. Just pipe the number to it and outputs. No records, one record, 34 records.
We also have number format, which can handle, for example, in Europe, mostly commas that separate instead of periods. In the US, it's mostly periods instead of commas. And so you can use number format to specify that and change it within the document.
Yeah. Here's where I got the filter examples. Should white space show. Somebody made like a plugin that displays a little calendar. So just past the current month of the year and display a little calendar with links and everything. It's pretty cool. So different types of plugins that Smarty can have, you know, function, just the modifier, block, which is a new one, is you want to have like starting and ending tags basically, like table / table and stuff. You can have that as a plugin. Compiler plugin gets invoked when the template gets compiled, so you receive the actual template source and can output PHP code, basically inject code into the compilation stage. Pre-filter, post-filter, output filter, we talked about those. A resource plugin, that's for storing templates in various places like databases, inserts, for cache templates. Plugins can be either just functions in installation that you register via one of the registered API functions, or they can be loaded on demand from the plugin directory that's specified with the plugin directory. So when the template compiles, Smarty goes through and sees, okay, we need like this modifier and this function here, and then just at runtime, it disclose the dynamic that's needed. But filters have to be loaded manually, just so you specify exactly which ones you want, because they're the specified for the templates. Plugins are very easy to install against the plugin directory. Writing plugins. So quick for this, and I'll show a couple of examples. You have to follow a naming convention, like file name has a type.name.php, so like prefilter.trimwhitespace.php. And then it's usually contained just one function inside it, or like resources, like there are four functions. But the function has to be called smarty_type_name.
And you can have many other functions, so it's just one function that gets hooked into it.
Yeah. Each type of plugin functions receives Smarty objects by reference as the last parameter. That's useful if you want to like, if there's an error, you can call like trigger error method to output errors from plugins, or access like Smarty variables, or assign stuff to the template from the plugin. So basically, you have access to the Smarty object. Parse attribute strings. Each type of plugin has specific kind of requirements for the parameters that it receives, and it's all documented. But we go and look at a couple of examples here. These are the plugins that found by default with Smarty. So let's look at like a simple on like modifier over the lowercase strings. You see that it's named type.name.php convention. And then the function is named smarty underscore type underscore name. And all it does is receive a string as the input. And just calls str to lower, which is that. It's a pretty simple plugin. Well, something more ambitious here is escape modifier. Receives a string, and then you see also the parameter. That's the one that you specify with column after the modifier name.
The string is the first parameter.
Yeah, so modifiers always get their what we process as the first parameter. So depending on the escape type here, which is all different functions to escape the string and return it. Let's look at like function. This function, if you call it, it will keep outputting successive numbers, with some parameters here. And in this case, parameters get passed by smarty, like the attributes that you specify for it, for count, direction, ascending or descending, and so on. We'll just deploy a little plugin here that outputs that stuff. Show the pre-program output folders. Fetch, that's the one that fetches. It's a little complicated because it needs to deal with a whole bunch of security stuff too. Yeah.
Where does the documentation for this go?
Documentation for these plugins?
Yeah.
For what's available with Smarty basically?
Well, I provide plugin,
there's no specific place for it. Yeah, it's just kind of bundled with the plugin, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can specify a README file in your distribution, for example.
I think, like, if you go look at the Smarty site. Even Monty puts the plugins up there. They have a documentation. So but yeah, I mean, you can provide Java doc right in the plugin itself. It's just depending. We don't have like a system that runs and extracts those. There's PHP doc, right? But
PHP doc is,
like I said, this site is still in the process of kind of being migrated over from the old one. So as we're setting it up, we may do that too.
PHP doc is a fully working version, or almost fully working version of Java doc for PHP, and it handles different parsing requirements that are for PHP.
So you can just include it there, and then it becomes a PHP issue, not a smart plugin.
Essentially.
Well, some performance considerations. Like I said, caching use the standard cache or PHP accelerator. Commercial. Free. Control free. Decide for yourself if you want to support it better or more important. I also cache the output of the templates. If you want to make that make sense for also turn off compile check. It has some overhead since it needs to do a stat on the file name and figure out the modifications. So if you have like if you modify your templates and then they go into production, you don't need to modify them.
You can also have a little URL that makes reloads your templates for you. Doing it manually is a lot better than doing it automatically.
Also, for best performance, and I mean this is once again up to your particular situation, but avoid using insert functions since cache files need to be parsed to those inserts information and functions to be run and replaced. It takes a bit of time. $smarty.request variables. We haven't talked about it, but Smarty provides gives you access to all the get post cookie stuff directly. So you can say $smarty.get all those variables. Basically access to the HTTP large arrays. And also there's also the one called $smarty.request, which merges get post and cookies into one. So you don't need to care where it comes from. But since it merges at the runtime, it has some overhead. You know exactly where your variable is coming from. Just use that directly. That's the compile time. It's much faster. Config files, don't use those if you don't really need to, I guess. There's some overhead there. And auto-loading filters, like auto-load filter variable. You know exactly which filters you're loading, and you don't mind loading directly manually. Then don't do that. In my experience, I'm using them pretty fast in general. Especially with cache. So, installation guide, I guess. I mean, other template engine is pretty easy. Just have the class file and include and start using it. Since it compiles templates in the PHP code, you need to set up some permissions and things like that. Documentation has very good installation instructions, but as we do stuff here, unpack the tarball, you know, place those Smarty class, Smarty compiler class, config class in the plugins directory is somewhere in your include path. Create directories where the compile templates and cache files will be stored. And I usually create everything outside the doc root except for the actual PHP files.
Also, with include path, if you need to do that on a virtual group basis, you don't need to do that in your PHP engine, however suggested you do. If you don't have access to it, I believe HD Access also allows for you to do that. And you can add it directly in your script.
So basically, like your templates, your compile templates, config files, hash files, they can all be outside the Docker, so you don't have to bother about the possibility that people can do them directly. The browsers. Make the template, compile templates and cache files directory owned by the web user and just access it as PHP and see if it all works correctly.
Really try and make it owned, even if you don't have to try and find somebody who, it's not that good to use Kmod 0777 on those directories. If you don't have root access on the machine, you can't chain group and owner privileges, but try to find some way. As a last resort, you can use 0777 permissions.
Oh, and then, like I said, you can either just instantiate Smarty class directly and change its parameters that way, but I find it's much easier just to extend the class than the constructor to set all those variables where the templates are, compile templates, stored, config files, cache files. Also, always call Smarty constructor. And then you can, like, later on in this infrastructure, you can turn on security debugging, register plugins, you know, whatever kind of settings you want to change. So, and all you do with your application is just instantiate my Smarty class and assign stuff and display. So that's pretty easy. Tips and tricks. Just a list of those that we'll go through. Some things that I've run into pretty often. Any questions so far before going into this thing? We'll leave some time at the end to do it. The length variables. We saw an example of this, but sometimes there's a need to give variable default value when it's blank, like in the photo gal when we had a title that's maybe passed from the application, but it's also maybe blank, in which case we want to substitute the one that's in the config file. So you use the default modifier, specify dollar title, default, and then what you want to replace it with. So here it just uses not regular space instead of title. But if the variable is used frequently, you can assign it like cache value based. Just say assign, which is a plugin function that comes with Smarty, variable name, and then the value. So your title is used several times in it, so instead of piping into modifier each time, assign it once and then just use dollar title after that. So that's, I guess that's also a tip for you to assign.
It's not a macro replacement, it's function replacement, so it caches the value returned from the function.
Some templates can be considered almost the whole components. Like headers and footers, for example. If you include a header and you want to, you can just pass a title to it directly from the template that includes it. So, for example, here is the include file equals header.tpl, title equals about, and as I showed you in the photo gal, tile becomes a variable in the header template that you can just use directly. So, in effect, header is a local component that you use to customize by the variables that you can pass in the include tag. Or like a stock sticker, list of tickers, speed 5, and then you have some, like a Java app or something that you can pass this to. You can control it that way. You can pass dates to Smarty modifiers and functions in various formats. Either Unix timestamps or MySQL timestamps or any format parsable by str for time function. And I have an example of that. But for performance reasons, just try to pass it as Unix timestamps. Otherwise, they convert to Unix timestamps internally. Here I have these. Okay. So in this little example, I just assigned four types of dates. There's the Unix timestamp here, just what's returned from time function. There's the MySQL timestamp, that's the formula that will come back from MySQL. And then just a couple of like human readable basic ones, July 21st, 2 plus 1 month, this 1 month from now. And then display the template. The template just table that all it does is display the type, the actual, the literal string that was passed in. And this just runs from date format modifier. It's exactly the same for all of them. But date format internally knows how to convert into the Unix timestamp. So if you run that here, that's what it's going to look like. Now Unix timestamp, that's what it was passed and formatted in that way. So it can be convenient. If you need to output content type header from the template sometimes, like, I think we use it once for the WAP stuff, you need to output the text slash bmb.web content type header. There are a couple of ways of doing it. You can either use super tag, use caching, or custom component. And, but you have to make sure that these, they are called the very beginning of the template before any output is sent, of course. So, like, a function called insert header, that's a custom function. Oh, it's an insert function that'll be called. And all it does is extracts parameters, checks if the content is, just use the header function of PHP to output it. This is the template. The very first thing we'll do is call the insert, call the name, call header, and pass this parameter to it. The content type that we're doing, that's just the rest of the WML. So you can, you know, output different content types or headers or whatever you want using this simple insert function. And since it's dynamic, it's not cached. The insert's not cached, it will always be helpful in that header.
I personally would just use PHP to do it, simply because one, you don't want your designers playing around with it, and yeah, it doesn't really affect display.
Unless they like outputting different types of content from the same code. You know, and they, I wouldn't say like have the PDF or something, but you know.
They all created it.
Obfuscated email, that's a good one if you want to like, if you have an email, mail to links on the page and want to avoid the spam bots going through and collecting all those. There's an easy but not foolproof way of doing this. The escape modifier has a couple of escape types. For example, if you just have something like this, send inquiries to ahref mail to blah blah. For the mail to one, you use the hex type. Hex escape type, and when they actually post displayed on the page, use the hex entity. This comes out looking like a bunch of garbage here, but it's interpreted by the browser correctly, and then spam box, and then the dumber ones can really pick those up. And,
there's the smarter ones, you have no options anyway.
You can create your own custom ways of obfuscating it with plugins, and like I said, there's a plugin in the, that was contributed. That's just a custom function called mail to all you do specify the mail address and the display and it automatically encodes it. So, componentized templates, that's really cool. Normally templates depend on the main application scripts to provide them with the data. So like your main script runs, gets data from database or somewhere else and assigns it to the template, that template just displays it. In some cases, it's useful to have templates go the other way. Templates, fetching the data and processing it itself and displaying it like a stock ticker, for example. I just have a little example of this here. It doesn't really be scrolling cool stuff, but shows that gives you a general idea. So to load the data, you can either embed PHP code into the template directly using the PHP/PHP tags, or include it by using the include PHP function. And the PHP code could take some parameters, fetch the data, and then assign it to the smarty using the assign function. So I have a little example here showing you how it works. So first of all, just the main one, all it does is assign the symbols that we want to fetch the data for and display the stocks template. And the stocks template, it uses the PHP tag, and that's the file that's going to be included. Then that will assign some information back to the template, and all it does is goes through and display the symbol company and last price. And before we go to show that code, there's just one that here. That's real time, so here you go.
Look how good open source is doing.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Well, look, it's changed. It's reloading.
Watch it go down in real time.
No. Especially from Yahoo. There, 1844 Intel going up. Anyway, this is the code that was included by the template. All it does is, you know, call the quote, yeah. Get the stuff. And then here it assigns the information. This assigns stuff. And if you remember, we assigned the symbols, list of symbols from the PHP code, and that's how it gets to it here. It's a TTL bars array. And passes it to this get stock data function and then assigns it back to the template. So if you just have the template in the stock info.php, that's like a little component basically you can include anywhere on your page and automatically will fetch its own data and display that. You could also just take the stock template and use php/php tags and embed that stuff in the directory so it's only one file. But if you don't have security turned on, that sort of stuff, it's better to set it to separate. Multilingual templates, that's comes out of your awful mailing list, like how do I make multilingual so you know people from the various countries they can view them in their own languages. There's a way to do it of course, and we'll just quickly go through that. One approach is just to make different templates for different languages and load them dynamically depending from the PHP script display just English templates if you, German templates. It's kind of not really convenient because you have to duplicate a lot of template code, and keep those in sync and all that sort of stuff. Another approach is to use the same set of templates, but all the text that gets uploaded to the screen, will be loaded from config files. Like you have a config file and have a section for English, section for German, or separate config files for one language, one thing. And the, strings will be loaded from the files at runtime. That's another approach. Somebody made a custom translate function. You just say translate lang equals give the language and then string equals something. It's, depending on how they do, either it fetches it from database or real-time translation, I don't know. Something like that. And this, a little more technical approach, I guess, is process the template with a prefilter. What they do is, they use like another set of delimiters for the strings that need to be translated, and then they're all their own prefilter that runs when the template is displayed. It grabs all those delimited strings, translates them somehow, database again or whatever else, and then replaces them back, and that's just the template that gets displayed. So it's only done basically when the template is changed. that's another approach to doing it. And depending upon your needs, you know, one of these will probably work unless you come up with something better. If you do, let me know. I'll be which name on the site.
Actually, also, if you're doing applications with not that much text in them, for example, a CMS where you have email, name, data, you can use defines within your PHP application and then just assign the text fields within Smarty and use that. It's another option that keeps it, the language stuff out of the display.
So that's about it for Smarty. There's a list of resources that you can go to and check those out for further information. The site, this is a new site, smarty.php.net. It's been getting more and more information on it. This is the old site. It looks very different, I guess, but it has a little more content. It's like,
all built with Smarties.
No, none of them are built with Smarties, actually. And it's not a case of eating on the dog food here. It's just that the old site, we just didn't want to do much, and this is just straight HTML code. The new site, it used the same structure and architecture as the PHP.net and doesn't use Smarty. So, I mean, Colin made this one too. So you can notice the two differences again. The documentation is, on the SmartyPHP.net site. It's kept pretty up to date. Right now there's only English, but hopefully there'll be some translations. Pretty comprehensive here. Maybe it's not the best user guide kind of documentation with a tutorial introduction and stuff, but this is definitely a very good reference documentation. There's a tutorial on the Xamarin site that somebody did for some reason. Yeah, Jason Swift did that. There you go. It's just like a three-part tutorial, but gives you a pretty good overview of the data and presentation stuff and get some Smarty and how to set it up and get it working. And there's a mailing list if you wanted to join those. There's a general users list here, Smarty developers list, and CES committee if you really want to keep track of what gets done for Smarty. And subscribe right here. So that's the resources, more resources on Smarty's site. But we'll find words for Smarty. And we have just about 20 minutes of this book. Questions and answers. 4:15.
So does anyone else?
Perfect. All right. nothing beeper before. I'm sure that there are detractors for you. What are the detractors? What do people say about it that there are complaints that are not totally unreasonable?
Rasmus?
Yeah. Complaints about Smarty?
Well, it's not about Smarty. I don't know, Smarty's probably the best quality of the
Well, the obvious one's like, it's too complex. And I guess it depends on how you look at it.
How's Smarty complex?
Huh?
How's it complex?
Well, like if people see like for each section of if statements, they say it's own language. Sure it is, but like I said, it deals with presentation logic.
I mean, that's always the question. Whether you want, how much are you going to explore something consistent? But eventually you're going to have to, because there is presentation layer logic that you have to do. You have to set different things now based on relevance. That's not business logic, but presentation layer logic. You're separating business logic from presentation layer.
Yeah.
There's just no way of getting around it. Every browser looks the same. Everyone uses the same browser. Okay. But that's not the whole thing. So now they have to put some presentation layer logic down.
Are there no criticisms that you sort of say, yeah, well, you know, you got a point there. We'll think about that in the future.
Sure. There, like I said, the cache stuff. The making it easier to separate the cache and the non-cache. Basically, say this portion of the template should not be cached.
It's also whether you want to use Smarty any template engine or not.
Yeah, we'll just use PHP.
There are a lot of people who think that PHP itself is a fine enough templating language. You can teach your designers how to use PHP.
and then make a template with that. And it's what you want and what you think looks better in your application. We happen to like Smarty better, but
I guess the those are probably the two main ones. There's a few good ones that I can't recall right now. But every once in a while, I think some of our main list that we can better just say, no, it's not in the scope of Smarty, it won't be done. Like calling object methods, for example. If you do that, and so we're starting to measure some, but the valid concerns that we get, we usually try to get addressed. We're figuring out how to insert the feature. And, like the whole plugin architecture came out because people wanted to have easier ways of extending their needs. There are definitely other concerns. Criticisms.
It's good to hear both sides of the story, I'm not sure.
Anybody else?
Is there a way to cache based on the post data? Based on post data? Obviously, if it's in the URL or get data, you can do it.
Well,
you can access post data like get data and then do the same decision.
I mean, of course you can. Since you're assigning post data to the template, and for the very first time it gets called, it's cached. And then depending on the cache ID, can be determined either from the post data directly generated yourself, and the next time the page needs to load it, it'll display a cache. But you have to decide whether you want to validate the cache before it loads. For the administration part of the system, I never change the cache because it just doesn't make sense to cache the administration. And caching is also useful for like when you're displaying information, articles, whatever.
We get a lot of searches that use the exact same terminology, for example.
Yeah, you can cache based on that, of course. You generate the cache ID however you want and then from the search string and then just load up the cache. I mean, it'll do it automatically since you're trying to cache it on and pass the cache ID. If you don't want to do it, just say clear cache. Clear it.
Any other burning questions?
Oh, back to the insert function. So we're going to go back and look at that. Is there a way for those functions to get access to the variables?
From Smarty?
Yeah.
Yes, because each of them gets passed a Smarty object. You can even access the template parts directly since Smarty doesn't really have private variables right now, or you can call the get template parts function. And so you can either just read them, or you can also assign that with the assignment.
Right, so then with one of those insert functions, you can just do a variable substitution that way, right?
Sure.
Okay.
And then you have a list of URLs, but just sort of briefly describe the size of the scale, the type of the size.
All kinds, starting from your little like blog page to the whole application's kind of systems, the online magazines, newspapers, like I said, the Canon, the UK site, the AOL, a community site for Quake people or somebody who's using it.
And they can get quite a few thousand or a million hits. In a short amount of time, so it's kind of optimized.
Maybe it's used in somewhere else in the bigger section. I have heard. And it's not like that. It's not that easy to detect which one is using Smarty because it all ends up being HTML.
Any
I didn't get the nice sexy smile. So.
You want that?
Yeah, please.
Small flash words.
Well, I guess we're a little early then.
Yeah, I had one small question. For
sure.
Said you're going to put the example slide up someplace.
The example application?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably put it up on Smarty Sites. And since these slides are available online, I'll probably just modify them to say where you can download
the application. Okay. The other thing is you show up, you're supposed to first examples
Oh, the ones that I just had for this
video. Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah, I'll include them with the archive.
What did you use to create this presentation?
You still?
Yeah.
This is the old version of the presentation software that I wrote years ago. I have a new version of this software. Andre was too lazy to use it.
It will be in the advanced PHP talk though. I mean, it's quite sexy.
Yeah, I'm giving a lightning talk on Thursday morning, I think.
Yeah. Anyone looks fun like this?
Is there a booklet for the advanced class?
Yeah, there are materials for the advanced.
That's for Sterling.
Oh yeah, well we have them available online for a few reasons. One, it's presentation rot.
It's an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's to save the environment, save the whales. But no, it's actually because of presentation rot is the real reason. Often when you get presentation slides, they're a bit out of date. This way, you can go online, it's available online right now, and download it in PDF format, plain HTML format. PDF, by the way, is letter and A4 available in sizes, or you can just view it online with the fancy little transformations and the text slides on the screen and everything. It's really sexy. And so that will be available online for you.
You can give them the current URL.
Yeah, also. Yeah, for the one, it's Prez, P-R-E-S, Lergo,
or probably type it.
Yeah, there's a list of them.
For the PHP,
click on PHP and you'll see all the PHP in the other presentation. One of them will say,
yeah, there's like, yeah. Well, if you're looking specifically for, did you update here?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I did. Let's see if there's any stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was working on, Dave.
Okay, so here's the, I'll just put that in there. Yeah, let's get there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah.
So that's
what the conference are you at?
Mozilla works very well on Windows.
Is that for the navigation?
Yeah, and it's still works on here. But you can also click on the titles. The L side is open.
Yeah.
I really haven't checked it very much on any. That system is about 3 weeks old.
Oh, look at that. Rasmus.
What?
That's a PDF.
Yeah. Off of my site.
Yeah. It's been pragmatic.
Well, it's yours and doesn't work.
It should run through the same way though.
I'm not sure that would work. Pragmatic?
Well, yeah, Jim has like 50 million screenshots.
It's also coming out of my new ESL thing.
So everyone go at once to download.
Post that up.
Yeah, that's the PDF generated version.
Wow, nice.
I'm going to talk on Friday about how to do PDF.
Oh, that's just the display. I keep it back. Okay, not in that case.
We're using XPDFs.
Yeah, it's just XPDF.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
XPDF.
Acoread is better.
You just get to plug it in. So,
that's about it.
Is
So no intention to add an X powered by HTTP header?
Yeah, inject the header.
Powered by Smarty.
X powered by Vodka.
Exactly.